Someone said to me this week, we're in survival mode. Now, I know they were thinking of how busy they were, and that on top of all of the burdens of life have been added, the concern is raised by COVID. Some are feeling as if all their internal resources have been depleted. What is draining specifically, perhaps, is yet another intensification. Whether it's the intensification of concern about catching the virus, or the concerns and the frustrations with the restrictions, or the intensification of the numbers we see in the news headlines. And perhaps somewhere, still, there remains a light in our hearts and minds. We imagine a new time that might come when there will once again be freedom of movement and freedom to interact personally with one another. If you are in survival mode, you're thinking, I just need to hang on until then. We long to be free. We long to be able to thrive in life without constraints, to be alive, fully alive. And COVID is not the only thing that constrains us. There is the human battle with the world, our struggle to work, to have the food and the resources we need day by day. There is the struggle internally that we face, our battle with our own emotions, anxiety and anger. There is sin. There is the desires that war within us and long to rule over us. There is the conflicts we have with one another, whether it's within this congregation or our families, or our neighbors, or our fellow citizens of Canada, or the rest of the world. And there is death. There is illness. There is aging. There is chronic pain. There is the loss that comes to some in their minds. There is death. How are we to get through all of these? How are we to deal with them? How are we to get through survival mode to that longed-for time of full life and thriving in freedom? What does it all mean? John's Gospel, I would suggest, asks us in these first few verses to consider two things. One, to look to Jesus and specifically to his death. To Jesus lifted up on the cross. Twice John the Baptist points to Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb who will be sacrificed. But at the same time, in the opening verses of John's Gospel, Jesus is also revealed as the source of life. The one who has life within himself. Jesus is the one who can give life and impart it. And in this way, John's Gospel fuses Jesus' death on the cross and Jesus as the source of life to all, for all who come to him. And so therefore, John's Gospel is an invitation to come and to meet Jesus, the source of life, but also to understand that we are invited to follow him, to join Jesus on our own journey through the constraints, the hardship, and eventually our own death. But to know that this is a journey towards life and towards God. All our afflictions are preparing us for eternity, for eternal life. But day after day, we come to Jesus for life. John begins, as many of us are familiar with. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. What I hear as I read those words, Jesus is the source of life, the beginning, the head of all things. Jesus is always with the Father, is always orientated toward the Father, and is sent from the Father. As it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. This always was and always will be true about Jesus. He always will be the source of life. He will always be moving towards the Father, and He is one with the Father. If we are seeking life, therefore, if we are seeking to thrive, life is in Jesus. It requires being orientated to move towards God. Therefore, in a sense, we are not yet alive. Some of you may disagree. You're pretty sure that your alarm went off this morning. You took some breaths and opened your eyes and stood up. You're pinching yourself. I think Enosh is pinching himself. I'm pretty sure I'm alive, Joel. Theologically, we are not yet alive. We are not yet human. Jesus is the first. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's purposes in creation. The image of God in humanity in creation. As Paul writes, He is the new Adam. And we are invited to come to meet Jesus and to experience this new life, this new human. The gospel, therefore, can be experienced in two ways. The Gospel of John. First, as we read it, we experience these things as we read them. We meet Jesus again in these words. We are challenged to die to ourselves in the words and to allow Christ to be alive in us. But the gospel also provides a framework for understanding our journey of life. That we are seeking to believe in Jesus so that we might have the power to become children of God. That we might be born again. The opening verses of John begin with all of these grandiose and theological and spiritual statements about Jesus and about becoming human and becoming alive. But when Jesus finally appears and we hear Him speak, Jesus' first words are so simple, direct, and personal. When His first disciples come and stand before Jesus, He simply asks them, "What are you looking for?" Now the disciples don't answer His question. What were they looking for? We might think that it's important here to learn about who Jesus is. In the other Gospels, we see this progression of understanding in the lives of the disciples, where suddenly, halfway through the Gospel, Peter blurts out, "You are the Messiah." But here, at the very beginning of John's Gospels, the disciples already know all these things about Jesus. We hear the disciples call Him teacher, Messiah, the one expected by Moses and the prophets, Son of God, King of Israel, Son of Man. All of these statements we hear in their very first encounter with Jesus. They can say they know all these things about Jesus. And yet, Jesus asks them, "What are you looking for?" I'm sure the titles they gave Jesus are a hint. They were looking for the Messiah, the King. But the fact that Jesus still asked them, "What are you looking for?" suggests that perhaps Jesus wants them to reflect, to stop. There's more in your hearts. There's more that I have to offer than this. We have longings, dreams, and hopes. Perhaps there is a difference between what we think we are looking for and what our hearts are actually seeking. So how would you answer Jesus? In the midst of all the things that you're striving after, in the midst of all of your intercessions and pleas with God, if you had to stop face to face with Jesus and answer Him, what are you looking for? What's going on within you? The first words, these are the first words spoken by Jesus. And I think, therefore, we should take this seriously as a crucial step in faith, in growth, in salvation. I think we are meant to pause here before reading the rest of the gospel and to try and answer this question in our daily prayer. Jesus, what is it I am after? Instead of answering Jesus, the disciples evaded and asked Him a question. Where are you staying? Meno. Where are you remaining? Where are you abiding? Now, as listeners, we have already been told Jesus remains and abides close to the Father's heart, the one on the breast of the Father. And John the Baptist has told us, I saw the heavens open and the Holy Spirit descend as a dove and it abide and remain on Jesus. And this is what the disciples will discover themselves as they come and see, as they follow Jesus, that Jesus and the Father and the Spirit are one. They abide within each other. And then, unfathomably, the disciples are invited to come and remain and abide within the Father and the Son and the Spirit. They are invited to abide in Jesus. They are invited to live in union with the triune God. They are invited to let the Holy Spirit come and abide and remain within them. At the end, the disciple whom Jesus loves is seen abiding on the breast of Jesus. But for now, Jesus only answers them, come and see. Perhaps it is something that Jesus cannot simply tell them or explain to them, but they must experience it. They must experience it by following Jesus day after day. They must come to Jesus and wrestle with the question, what are you looking for? They must come to Jesus to discover what it means, even, to abide in Him, to find life in Him, to be guided through life by Him. I am sure that all of us have all sorts of knowledge about Jesus and about Christianity, about faith, about the church. But John's gospel is meant for us to help us hear once again that Jesus does come to us in the flesh, that God does appear to us now in this life and give us life now. And as I read the gospel, I find I identify with Nicodemus. I find myself, hear myself saying to Jesus, how can this be? I don't understand. And I hear Jesus say, you are a teacher and you do not understand these things? I identify with the woman at the well, hoping that somehow God will show up. I don't know where or when, stuck in my own problems. I identify with the disciples. Can anything good come from there? From 2,000 years ago? In some other culture? In the flesh? God could really work in that way? I find myself identifying with the man born blind. Jesus is standing right there beside me. He's opened my eyes, and yet I'm saying, who are you? John's gospel is a gospel for us to meet Jesus again. It is a gospel where we will hear once again that suffering And even our own death is not a negation of God's love for us, nor a negation of the goodness of God, nor a negation of God's desire to bless us. But somehow, for whatever reason, a reason we're never given, somehow suffering, the constraints of this world, and eventually our own death, are a part of our ascension to God. And we ascend only to descend. That is to say that all of us are reaching up for heaven, only to find that heaven is coming down to us. And we find that even though we lose everything, bit by bit, as our days lengthen, only to find that all we were ever really looking for is renewed and restored in and through Jesus Christ. To whom be the glory now and forever. Amen.